This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 6th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, a report on flex fuel vehicles and their yet unfulfilled promise. We'll also get a forecast for the day ahead and through the weekend with meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, today's news. Governor Rob Blagojevich says he won't rush his decision to name a new U.S. senator to take the place of President-elect Barack Obama. At a news conference yesterday, Blagojevich said he'd like to name an interim senator before Christmas, but didn't want to overpromise. Earlier this week, AM 580's Michael Kaliska spoke to State Senator Mike Frerichs of Champaign about possible candidates to fill out Obama's Senate term.
Do you have any idea who Rod Blagojevich may going to pick as the next senator of Illinois?
I have no idea. I feel very confident it's not going to be me.
No speculations? You didn't hear anything? Any rumors or something?
I heard lots of rumors. I've heard Tammy Duckworth. I've heard Jesse Jackson Jr. I've heard Jan Schakowsky. I've heard probably 15 other people who want this and actually campaigning for the job. But the latest news is he's going to appoint some sort of panel.
The panel Frerichs mentioned will be members of the governor's senior staff. Blagojevich says they'll help check out candidates for the interim Senate seat. Besides the names Frerichs mentioned, retiring Illinois Senate President Emil Jones has also been named as a possible choice. State elections officials say the total number of ballots cast statewide in this week's historic election that sent Barack Obama to the White House is destined to be a record. But the turnout percentage still falls short of the state's mark set 48 years ago, when another Democrat in his 40s claimed the White House. Dan White, the executive director of the State Board of Elections, estimates turnout was 75% to 80%, but turnout was 88% back in 1960, when John F. Kennedy was elected the country's first Catholic president. White says final vote tallies won't be known for weeks, but he expects the number of voters will top the record of 5.35 million set 4 years ago. The narrow defeat this week of a sales tax to fund school facilities in Champaign County is forcing local school officials to rethink their plans. Officials at Champaign County's 14 districts had been hoping that the one-cent tax could fund new school construction and pay off old bonds. In Champaign Unit 4, the county's largest school district, the sales tax was key to meeting a provision of the consent decree for achieving racial equity. School officials would have used the sales tax to build new classrooms at two Northside grade schools. But with that project delayed, school board member Greg Novak says they still hope to convince a judge to lift the consent decree sometime next year.
We basically can point out that we have now made two attempts at a referendum. Now, the first attempt was defeated by the voters of Champaign, and I think this attempt, actually, Champaign did vote for the sales tax, but it failed on a countywide basis. But again, we did make that good faith effort to an attempt to find a funding source, which is what we are obligated to do. That's something the judge would have to look at.
The defeat of the school sales tax also delays Unit 4's plans to build a new school in Savoy and to renovate several existing schools. Champaign County voters rejected the one-cent sales tax by 300 votes Tuesday night, a less than 1% margin. Novak says the narrowness of that margin means a school facility sales tax might be worth reconsidering in the future. A Champaign supporter of a new state constitutional convention says the courts need to look into the process that put the ConCon referendum on the ballot. But John Bambanek says he doesn't think there should be a do-over of the ConCon referendum, which voters defeated by a 2-to-1 margin on Tuesday.
I'm not convinced that there's no real effort that's going to push for a revote because the margin was so wide. But there were certain problems in the election and certain breaches of the law in the state constitution that need to be investigated and dealt with, and there should be consequences.
The state constitution requires a referendum every 20 years, asking voters if they want a constitutional convention. But Bambanek says this time ballot instructions for the referendum were biased and incorrect. A court ruling ordered substitute instructions to be handed out to voters on Election Day. But Bambanek says election judges in some counties urged voters to vote against the measure as they handed out the instructions. Bambanek is the co-founder of the Illinois Citizens Alliance, which met yesterday with other ConCon supporters. They plan to ask the Illinois Supreme Court to examine what they say was an unfair election. The State Agriculture Department has extended a quarantine to all of McLean, Livingston, and Woodford counties based on infestations of the emerald ash borer that were found this year in Bloomington and Chenoa. Ag Department spokesman Jeff Squibb says it'll affect landscaping businesses and woodcutters.
What we are trying to do is prevent potentially infested wood products from moving outside of the quarantine.
Squibb says no firewood of any kind should move outside those counties on a penalty of a $500 fine. Landscaping businesses have to enter into an agreement with the state before they can move any ash trees. The state also bans transportation of some forms of ash logs and lumber, or roughly chipped bark and branches from ash trees. Experts believe the emerald ash borer came to the U.S. from Asia on infested firewood. Construction has begun for a $72 million home for the future world's fastest supercomputer. It'll be based on the U of I campus in Urbana. During the groundbreaking ceremony, National Center for Supercomputing Applications Director Tom Dunning said when the world will think of supercomputing, it'll think of the Great Lakes and Illinois. He says after 2.5 years of planning, the foundation of the new project is finally visible.
This will house the world's fastest computer when it comes online in 2011. And as I've told the NCSA staff, we are now not one of many, but we are one of one. The University of Illinois is one of one.
The building that will house the computer known as Blue Waters is expected to be finished in 2010. The University of Illinois is working hand-in-hand with IBM on the project. It's expected to be as fast as 1 million PCs combined. For the latest newscasts online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. If you've kicked the tires around a new car lot recently, your dealer may have told you about flex-fuel cars. These flex-fuel vehicles run on gas, or they can burn E85. That's a mix of ethanol and gasoline. Congress promoted flex-fuel vehicles to cut oil imports. Sean Ali of the Environment Report tells us why that really hasn't happened.
All right, I'm in my car right now, and I'm across the street from a gas station. It's raining right now, so keeping my distance. I've been watching this pump that dispenses that E85 blend. That's the stuff with 85% ethanol and 15% gasoline. Anyway, this is a very lonely gas pump. I've been here for something like an hour and a half, and no one has filled up on E85. So I'm gonna go in and talk to a manager to see whether this is normal. What's your name, sir?
Greg McClellan.
How often do you see people actually fill up on E85?
It depends on the location. Most of it is just people don't know what it is. You know, they see a little pump over there that says E85, and a lot of their vehicles take it, and they don't even know it.
McClellan pulls out a flyer that shows which vehicles can use E85. He says lots of these models pull in, but they often pass up as E85 pump.
And you can see most of them are General Motors.
A lot of General Motors, Impala, Avalanche, Tahoe, Uplanders.
But we always recommend for them to go to online or check the owner's manual.
But there's something most flex fuel owner's manuals don't tell you. Nationwide, only about 1% of stations have an E85 pump. E85 is supposed to cut gasoline use, so it kind of begs the question, if there's not much E85 around, why can so many flex fuel cars use it?
Currently, auto companies receive a fuel economy credit for producing a flex fuel vehicle.
Environmentalist Roland Wong tracks car policy for the Natural Resources Defense Council. He says the flex fuel incentives infuriate him because they've made us waste gasoline, not save it.
Just very roughly speaking, like a 20 mile per gallon car might be treated like a 40 mile per gallon, almost like a hybrid level of efficiency under these fuel economy credits. Thereby allowing the auto companies actually to build a less fuel-efficient vehicle fleet than they otherwise would have had to build.
You don't have to take Wong's word for it. Energy analysts in the government itself agree the incentives have wasted gasoline. But some of these analysts say there is a bright side to the flex-fuel vehicle incentives. One of them is Paul Leiby of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory.
The important side effect of flexible-fuel vehicle incentives is that we can actually begin to achieve energy security with the enhanced capability to use alternative fuels, even if we are not yet using them.
You mean the flex fuel vehicle program wastes some gas, but having flex fuel vehicles around is like an insurance policy for like an oil shock or something?
That's exactly right. If we have to do something very fast, within 1 to 3 years, we already have some vehicles on the road that can quickly switch to ethanol if it can be produced.
Leiby says Congress really believed this insurance policy idea, so it let flex fuel vehicle incentives for automakers go on for more than a decade. That's even while we were just spinning our wheels when it came to actually saving gas.
But now the game might be changing. Congress is phasing out flex fuel credits for the car makers, and there's talk about making all cars flex fuel. It's a move Detroit does not want to make, because then they'd have to actually meet the government's requirements of a more fuel-efficient fleet. For the Environment Report, I'm Sean Ali.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. Have something to say about the Environment Report? Send email to feedback@environmentreport.org.
Meteorologist Ed Kieser says the clouds will be increasing through this morning. We'll have periods of rain and thunderstorms this afternoon in east central Illinois. Cloudy with showers and thunderstorms all day in the western part of Illinois. Elsewhere becoming mostly cloudy, with showers and storms arriving later. In western Indiana, increasing clouds with showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. In eastern Indiana, mostly sunny and warm still. Highs from 60 in northwest Illinois to 78 in southeast Indiana. For tonight, in western Illinois, partly cloudy. In eastern Illinois and western Indiana, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms early, then becoming partly to mostly cloudy overnight. In eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Lows from 37 in west central Illinois to 50 in southeast Indiana. Today's high in Champaign-Urbana around 70, down to 41 tonight. Then for tomorrow, a chance of showers and still cloudy in northwest Illinois. Elsewhere in the north and central sections of Illinois, increasing clouds again with scattered showers developing during the afternoon. Partly to mostly sunny in the south. Highs from only 42 in northwest Illinois to 62 in the south. 51 for tomorrow in Champaign-Urbana. Tomorrow night, cloudy, a few showers and 35. Saturday, cloudy, breezy, and cool with a chance of a few showers and a high of only 43 degrees. Down to 33 Saturday night, cloudy, and 44 for Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, November 6th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.